Open your Bibles, please, to Luke, the 8th chapter, in your Schofield Bible, page 1085, 1085, and starting with the 43rd verse, we'll read through verse 48, the text verse being the 45th verse. Once more, Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Let's stand, please, as we generally do. We'll read the verses responsively. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful church. And of course, we thank you for this time that we've been remembering those who've gone on before us. These names that are being revealed service by service of those who were a part of our church and who are now a part of that place where there is heaven and glory in life everlasting. We pray for our brother John Vakrazan. Thank you for the delight and joy that he's brought to us as a church family. And please go with him. He'll miss us, and we'll miss him. And we pray for our preacher tonight. Bless with power the service, and we pray that we would, with intention, listen to that which is preached. We need it, young or old, we need what's going to be said tonight. Help us to listen in Jesus' name. Amen.
This sermon is not just to preach your voice, but you preach your voice would do well to sit up straight and listen to what I'm going to say tonight. I'm going to tell you why First Baptist Church is here. You know, these people just didn't all of a sudden drop in one day. These buildings weren't dropped out of the sky on this corner. The $55 million in property that 40 years ago was $750,000 in property. This didn't just happen. I'm going to tell you tonight, and this is not a preacher's sermon, but I want to say it concerning you preacher boys, preacher men. You need to learn all the Bible you can at the college, but I'm going to tell you tonight something that is all the Bible you want to learn. If you don't do what I'm going to preach tonight, it won't do you any good. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I want everybody in this room to listen carefully as I speak to you from Luke 8:45. Don't turn to it. I would like to read just a verse from Luke chapter 8 and verse number 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That's the title of my sermon tonight. Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, And sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. Now bear in mind, no doubt there are thousands of people here in a great mass of flesh and humanity. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Our Heavenly Father, as a 72-year-old preacher tonight, I look back over 53 and a half years of preaching, 51 years of pastoring Baptist churches. I think as I look back, I think I can see some of the causes and some of the reasons. And I think tonight I'm going to present one of the main reasons for success in any endeavor, whether it's a business, a school, a church, a home, family, marriage, whatever it is. So help me as I speak tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord was passing on his way. Multitudes followed him. How many multitudes followed him? How many people? I do not know. It was generally accepted that there are 5,000 people that pretty well followed him everywhere he went. After all, he had healed sick people. There were sick that wanted to be healed. He'd opened blind eyes. There were blind people that wanted to see. He had opened deaf ears. There were deaf people that wanted to hear. He had caused the lame to be healed and walk and run. There are crippled people that wanted to walk. And as they saw him, as he performed these miracles, they realized maybe that they too could have the same thing happen to them, or maybe some loved one that they would bring to Jesus. Maybe that loved one would be the fortunate one to see next, or hear next, or walk next, or run next. Just maybe it's the case. Multitudes followed him. Strong men fight to get one glance into his eyes. Strong men wanted to see the face and the countenance of this one who was doing so many wonderful works. Mothers lift their children high above the crowd so the little ones may see at least once this one whose fame had been so enlarged in the land. Suddenly, he cries, who touched me? Who touched me? They respond, hundreds have touched thee. He cries again, who touched me? Who touched me? Let me tell you who it was. It was a woman with a disease, a terrible disease. In fact, her disease was so bad that she had been excommunicated from the temple. She couldn't even go to church, if you please. She was not allowed inside the house of God and not allowed in public worship whatsoever. By law, this woman was separated from her husband. Think about this now. By law, she was separated from her husband. Not you gals that get tired of him and leave him and quit him, but she had to be separated because of the terrible disease that she had. She wasn't allowed to live with him. She was ostracized from society and had to cry, unclean, unclean, when people came near. She could not be with her own family. She could not even embrace her own children. What a tragic sight she must have been. She could have no fellowship whatsoever with her friends. For 12 years, are you listening to me? For 12 years, she had lived like this, separated from her husband, unable to be near her children, unable to have fellowship or interaction with her friends. 12 long years. 12 years of pain. 12 years of suffering. 12 years of loneliness. 12 years of reclusiveness. 12 years of being ostracized and even laughed at. Luke says that she had spent all her living on physicians. Nothing unusual. Most of us are doing that these days. But Luke says
in effort to get healed so somehow she could be reconciled to her husband, be again with her family, interact with her friends, and embrace her own little own children. She had spent all, Luke says, her living on physicians. Mark, in giving the same story, says she spent all that she had. Now, here's this woman. She had heard of Jesus, and now she hears he's coming her way. Can you imagine the buzz of excitement? Jesus of Nazareth is coming this way. The Pope, I was in St. Louis recently. The Pope and I were there together sharing the platform. And folks flocked to see one of us. I've forgotten which one it was. But they flocked to see the Pope. And yet, the Pope opened no blind eyes. The Pope unstopped no deaf ears. The Pope gave no life to those who are dead. The Pope did not restore someone who was crippled to walk and run again. All he could do was say, kiss my ring, or I'd say to him, kiss my foot. But that's all he could do. But that same kind of a thing. You'd be amazed. The airport was abuzz in St. Louis, and traffic was stopped. You could hardly drive anywhere on one of the freeways. Why? The Pope was here. The Pope was here. But here's someone who is the real Pope, the real Son of God, the one who can not only bless you, but heal you and save you. And he's coming to town. And this little lady hears about it. She knows little of him. Maybe, just maybe, I'll be the one. I know that multitudes will throng about him. But for 12 years, I've been like this. For 12 years, I've not been able to kiss my husband or embrace my child. For 12 years, I've not interacted with my friends. For 12 years, I couldn't even go to the temple or even a place of public worship for 12 long years. Just maybe there's a chance, maybe in a million, that maybe I can get to him. And maybe I'll be one of those that he heals like he's done in days gone by. Picture it. Weak and frail and terminally ill. She comes to try to get to Jesus. She finally, the Bible says, touches him. Somebody told me this word, what it means. I haven't looked it up. I was afraid they were wrong. And I want to preach a sermon on it. Somebody told me this. A preacher told me this. And I believe him. He said that the word here, when she touched him, was the word jostle. Like our word jostle. The word jostle means to bump and push in a crowd. Can you see her? With all what little strength she has, I've got to get to him. And she pushes and she bumps and she pushes again and bumps and jostles in the crowd. He said, who jostled me? Who jostled me? Who touched me? They said, many have touched you. Ah, but one jostled me. And he looked at her and he said, daughter. Boy, I love that. Daughter. And healed her. Why? But there are multitudes of people there who had been sick for 12 years or more, no doubt, and they touched him, but they didn't jostle him. Let me tell you something, folks. God blesses those who jostle. I ask you a question tonight. Do you touch or do you jostle? I was interested in Brother Mark's mention a while ago. He said he came to our college, and his sister before him was very popular. And his brother, Jack, right? After him was Mr. Highlander. I think you were a dud, if I remember correctly. But he said he was always known as, what was her name? Vicky. Always known as Vicky's brother or Jack's brother. And he was sort of sandwiched in there. Let me tell you something, brother. You don't have to be well-known housewives in college to get the job done for God. You just jostle instead of touching. Now, many of these people that came to Jesus and they saw him and they heard him and reached out to touch him, but the Bible says she jostled him. You know why this church is here? Because we jostle to get here. This church is not here because of charisma. This church is not here because of some old man's humor. This church is not here because of talent. This church is not here because of intellect. This church is here, bless God, because 40 years together we've been jostling to get the job done for God. Ask a question. Are you a toucher? Are you a jostler? The jostler says, I'm going to touch him. I'm going to get to him. The toucher says, I'm going to try. The jostler says, I'm getting to him. The toucher says, I hope. The jostler says, I will. And numbers of people touched it. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? They said, well, many have touched you, but one jostled. I was the least likely prospect at Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, to ever do anything for God or anything successful, highly successful in the area. I was the least talented. I was the least likely. And I was way down on the list of natural gifts. But there's one thing the old man learned to do as a boy. He learned to jostle. Boy, he learned any more than touch. And I'm here tonight. Not because I'm good-looking, though I am the best-looking man on this platform, which is no great accomplishment. And I'm the greatest best-looking man within distance, 25 feet also. But no, I'm not here because of, I'm not a talented man. I'm not a great orator. I'm not a great intellect. I'm not an intellectual. But bless God, there's one thing I learned to do as a kid. I learned to jostle. I mean, brother, I'm going to touch him. And Jesus said, who touched me? And a lot of folks said, but somebody jostle me. Give me a bunch of preacher boys who jostle. Do something big for God. I jostled to become a paratrooper. I entered the paratroops. I was in the infantry in World War II. I volunteered for the paratroopers. 1,100 men started training for 4 weeks. We had further training after that, but 1,100 men started. You can't believe the physical training we had. You can't believe the running we had. I don't mean run for 50 minutes, have a 10-minute break. I mean run all day sometimes. You can't believe it. And I was not one of these big, husky guys and big muscle-bound fellows. I am now, but I was not then. And I wasn't like that. They call me Slim. Can you imagine that? You're fat compared to what I was, Scott. No, you're not either. But the people, when I became a paratrooper and went back to my church, the folks couldn't believe it. They watched Jackie Boy House walk down the aisle. You think I didn't have fun? Those boots on and that insignia on my shoulder and the wings on my chest and that little parachute on my cap walking down the aisle of Hillcrest Baptist Church. And they said, I can't believe it. Jack Hiles, a paratrooper. Yeah, buddy. Jack Hiles. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I was a jostler. That's why. I didn't join a paratrooper to wash out. I joined to get my wings. 1,100 men started. 4 weeks later, 309 got their wings. Fellows in much better shape than I. Fellows bigger than I, stronger than I, more gifted than I. They washed out. You know why? Because I didn't join the wash out. Some of you quitters, why don't you become jostlers for a change? I jostled. I got my wings and weeks later, as a paratrooper, United States 82nd Airborne Division, I put that 82nd Airborne patch on my shoulder. I put that patch of parachute on my cap, the wings on my chest, and put my boots on, and I walked out. Not because I was strong, not because I was muscular, but because a little old Texas boy decided to jostle, and he wasn't going to come out without his wings. Ladies and gentlemen, keep on staying there. Jostle till you find success. I didn't just touch. I jostled. I jostled to become a preacher. You know the stories. I won't tell them to you again unless I want to. How that my first sermon, I had to apologize and sit down. I preached for a year without having anybody saved in my first little country church. Said, you ever think about quitting? Not one time. Ever think about turning back? Not one time. You say, why? Because I jostled. I jostled. I said, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to reach folks for Christ. I'm not going to go back home a failure. And some of you guys, hey, you go back home, quit school, and go back. I'd be ashamed to show up back home. And some of you gals are the same thing. If I were you, I wouldn't go back home. I'd go to some other town. I wouldn't walk down the aisle of my church and let them see a second-class failure. I say jostle. I say jostle. who touched me. Many have touched, but somebody jostled me.
I was the poorest kid in the church. I was the shyest kid in the church. But I didn't just touch. I jostled. And a lot of good-looking guys, some of you stars, I wouldn't give you a dime for you athletic stars. I'll say it again. If some of you guys play on our sports team and misbehaved in Sunday school this morning, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And by the way, you come into my office too. I said, you're coming to my office. You say, well, Brother House, I won't come. Then you've had your last time you're entered. What's the name of our school? Hammond Baptist School. Because either you leave or I leave, I'm sick and tired of a bunch of buckles misbehaving in Sunday school. And don't you parents start your carcass up here and get in my way, or I may just boot you out along with the kids. Oh, let me tell you something. We don't need a bunch of talented big shots. We need some little old fellas who will say, I'm going to touch him. 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 Some jostlers. I jostled, forgive me for saying it, I jostled to leave this church for 40 years. People hear about this church. They come here from all over America to see what it's like. And they expect to find some guy about 6'4". Charisma. And a yuppie type. Yuppie. Black Scott. Not like Lapina, but they expect to find some yuppie here. And they walk in back here and see an old man, 72 years old up here preaching, and they say, what in the world's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. You're listening to a jostler tonight. Do you touch or do you jostle? Your success or failure will not be according to your personality. Your success or failure will not be according to your charisma. Your success or failure will not be according to your preaching ability or your oratory or your great personality. Your success or failure will be on one thing. Did you jostle? We don't know how smart this lady was. We know she jostled. We don't know how rich this lady was. She spent it all, but she jostled. The others, no doubt, were stronger, but they didn't. She said, I'm going to touch him. I'm going to touch him. I'm not leaving till I get healed. I'm going to touch him. Who jostled me? I had to jostle to build our schools. And then he stopped and said again, this school wasn't built for a bunch of irresponsible, disrespectful punks.
I didn't jostle. And by the way, you don't know how much all you think I do is stand up here and preach 3 times a week. And no, sir, brother, somebody's got to draw the plan. Somebody's got to raise the money. Somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to try to hire the faculty. Somebody's got to take care of organize back young in the old days. Listen to me. This school, Hammond Baptist School, wasn't built for a bunch of punks that sit in Sunday school class and don't listen to a teacher. You hear what I'm saying? I have declared war on you. You think you're talking about my boy? Probably am, and don't you get in my way. Now, we'll vote you out. Oh, it may be just the opposite. Well, you say, Brother Howells, you may be in for a battle. It won't be the first one I ever had. It's time some of you parents got behind this preacher. It's time some of you moms and dads got behind and you said that what that preacher does, if he wants to kick you out of school, you said, Brother House, you don't have a right to kick me out of school. Well, let's just see. Now you listen to me. We need some people who are not just the average normal people, but folks who say, by the grace of God, I'm going to succeed, I'm going to jostle, and I'm not talking about tipping the folks over in the Sunday school class and pushing somebody down. I'm talking about saying, I'll be a success, I'll get there, I'll not fail, I'll jostle.
Boy, this is good. You know why City Baptist Schools down here An old man's been jostling. You know why Hammond Baptist School's right there? An old man jostled for all these years. You know why those days when Howells Anderson College was meeting on the campus of the Baptist City in what now is the great school? And one day somebody came by and said to me, "Have you seen the campus out at Capuchin Seminary? They only have 40 students now," I think he said. And he said, "Have you seen it?" I went out there and looked. I never seen it. I never saw anything pretty in my life. So I made an appointment to talk to the mother. She had a beard. But I walked in. And by the way, the guy that ran the seminary, he spoke in a cigarette, and I walked in. I walked into some place there. Here's this guy smoking a cigarette, calls himself a father. I said, "I came to buy your campus." He said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Jack Howells, pastor of First Baptist Church. Came to buy your campus." He said, "I'll tell you one thing." He jumped up, doused his cigarette, blew some smoke, and he said, "The Baptist folks will be the last people we'll sell this campus to." And I said, "You're right." I looked at him and I said, "The Baptist people will be the last people you sell this campus to." Enter Chaucer Hiles. Twelve months. One night a month. All night long. I went to the campus. I prayed all night, one out of every 30 days for 12 months. I walked up those hills out there under those big trees, and I claimed it for God. I walked down the valley, I claimed it for God. I walked across that lake and claimed it. I learned how to appreciate Peter. We criticize Peter because he sank. He still holds the world record for walking on water. All night long, I walked up and down that campus, barefoot, claiming it for God, jostling, jostling, jostling. You won't be a successful preacher, young man, just because you can preach a good sermon, just because you have a good Bible knowledge, just because you have a good intellect. Somebody's going to have to teach you how to get on your face before God and jostle. I'm not saying touch you with an owl, aim it down to sleep. I'm saying jostle. I used to walk around, put my hands on a building and say, "God, make these fellows quit in this building." The enrollment in that seminary went down to 7. She called me one night and said, "Mr. Hiles, we're interested in selling." I said, "I know." And now, ladies and gentlemen, for these years, that beautiful Capuchin Seminary that went down from 40 to 7 students has been in the hands of old-time religion, the old-time gospel. Ever dawn on you rule breakers that somebody jostled and put those villains out there? Ever dawn on you folks that get your knives and cut up the seats here? Somebody had to jostle to buy those pews? Hey, young people, you know what I said? You get your little knife and you cut up a few. Ever dawn on you that somebody had to jostle to put that seat there? Put your knife up and pay attention to what the preacher's saying and be a jostler. Somebody had to jostle. Hey, the secret is don't quit. Hang in there and jostle till victory comes. Let me show you a few jostlers. Roy Moffitt. A jostler. Ugly. Dumb. But he succeeded. You know how this man right here succeeded? He jostled. He doesn't have the natural ability that a Jack Scoff has. He doesn't have intellectual ability that Tom Vogel has.
Ain't nothing you got he doesn't have, Bob. But he got some things you don't have. But Roy Moffitt decided he's going to be a success. Now, some of you dreamer boys are shooting baskets. Roy Moffitt was getting the job done for God. He's awesome. Who touched me? Who touched me? Boy, I want Jesus to say, there's old Jack again touching me. I let Jesus call me Jack. There's old Hiles. He's jostling again. Ray Young walked up to me years ago out there at the campus of the school. I never saw such a timid man in my life. Looked up at me and he said, look, how do you think God could ever use me? I thought of that commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I told the little fib and said, yes, I've watched that little timid guy jostle till he and Roy Moffitt are the premier bus men in the world today. That little fellow didn't become vice president of Howells Anderson College because he had talent, because in lecture, hey, he got up early and stayed up late and jostled. And the Lord said, who touched me? Who touched me? And they said, many have touched you, but Ray Young has jostled you. Years ago, I hired a man on the staff who got saved here in C.W. Fisk. After a few months, I hired him to be a custodian. He just cleaned the place. He got where he'd go soul winning so much, went so many souls to Christ. I mean, families. We got folks tonight who won to Christ still here. And so I called him one day. I said, Brother Fisk, I'd like for you to spend half your time cleaning the buildings, the other half the time going soul winning. He couldn't believe it. What? You mean I'm going to be on the staff? Yeah, you're going to be on cleaning the buildings. He got to where he brought more folks down here than anybody around here. One day I called him in and I said, I'd like to put you full time on the staff. He stayed here 18 long years. Now, Brother Fisk was not what you'd call a real talented man. He was not what you'd call the kind of person that you'd think would be one of the assistant pastors on the largest church in America. But he jostled. One day, Jesus felt a touch. Who touched me? Many have touched you. Who jostled me? C.W. Fisk. Who jostled me? Roy Moffitt. Who jostled me? Ray Young. What's going on? Jeff Owens, Randy Erickson, Monty Watts, Kevin Wynn, down in Mexico City, Rick Martin. There are many preachers who have touched him. And he built good churches. There are some who have jostled him and built great churches. There are many students who have touched him to learn well. There are a few who have jostled him to excel. Many wives have touched him to become good wives. A few have jostled him and have become great wives. Many missionaries have touched him to win hundreds. A few have jostled him to win tens of thousands. Ask a question. What are you going to do? Touch him or jostle him? Huh? What you going to do? Huh? Oh, you're so pretty. You don't have to jostle. Do you know not a word said about what this gal looked like? Jesus didn't turn around and say, well, she sure is pretty. I'm going to heal her. She may have been as ugly as homemade sin. We don't know anything about her personality. No doubt there were some much prettier than she was, went home still sick. No doubt there were some with more charisma. There was only one difference between this gal and the other people who were not healed. They touched him. She jostled him. The sun is setting. Some are being carried back home who are carried there. Still unable
to embrace their children. Still unable to embrace their husband. Still unable to go to public worship. They're carried back home. Some are crawling their way back.
Going home with the same disease they came with. Still unable to worship publicly. Still excommunicated from the temple. Still unable to embrace their own children or live with their own family or interact with their own friends. And some are still feverishly
weeping. Their last hope seems to have gone. Some are still unable to join their families. But one runs home, rushes inside the door. "Sweetheart, look! Look! Look!" The first time in 12 years, she embraces her loving husband.
"Little children, Mama, Mama, what's happened to you?" She said, "I met Jesus, son. I met Jesus, sweetheart." And little children, for the first time in 12 years, run up and kiss Mama on the cheek and feel the warmth of her lips against their cheek and her warm embrace.
And it's shouts and laughter and praises. What's the difference in those that crawled home bearing the same disease, running the same temperature they had when they came? The difference? Many touched, but one jostled. Many touched, but one jostled. I saw a graduate of East Texas Baptist College, and by the way, been in the Southern Baptist Convention so long and had dropped out of the ministry, he didn't know whatever happened to me. And most everybody knows what's happened to me. But he didn't know. I bumped into him on a street corner in a distant city not long ago. He was the charmer of the campus. Big, good-looking, charisma. He said, "Hey, Jack, what you doing?" I said, "I'm pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana." "What? How big is it?" "Oh, it's on a good Sunday, 25,000. "Well, I didn't ask the population of Hammond. How many come to your church?" I said, "That's how many." I said, "How are you doing?" "Well, I left the ministry, divorced my wife, she divorced me. I'm not in the ministry anymore." He was the big shot on the campus. The difference? Looks? No. Difference? Intellect? No. The difference? Charisma? No. Talent? No. The difference is, he touched him. And I jostled. What you going to do? Are you going to be satisfied with normalcy? You going to crawl home with the same disease that you had when Jesus came through town? Or are you going to be like this gal who says, "I'm getting through to him. I'm weak, but I'm getting through to him. I'm not just going to touch him. I'm going to jostle." Boy, I tell you, when she went home that night to her husband, her children, her family, and her friends gathered around, boy, oh boy, they made Blackwell look like an Episcopalian rector. Shouting and praising God and having a spell.
"I'm healed! I'm healed! Hey, Mama can hug us again! Hey, sweetheart, come and hug me again! Hey, folks, neighbors, come on in! She can, and hey, we're going to church Sunday morning! We can go back to the temple! We can worship together as a family! Why? Because many touched him, but bless God, one jostled."
What you going to do? Boy, give us some jostling preachers. I may have a new degree at Howells Emerson College. B.J., Bachelor of Jocelyn. They start a new course of study. Jocelyn 131. Jocelyn 132. What you going to do? The difference in our Howells Anderson graduates is not necessarily some go to an easy place and some go to a hard. Look at Bruce Goddard out there in the desert. Now I'm about to extend this message an hour and a half. Bruce Goddard,
graduate of our college. Big old tall drink of water. Went out there to the in the deserts. I think about 12 years, didn't have a building. Not in a tent. But in Joshua. He's running 700 people in his Sunday school, church, without a tent. I'm talking about in the rattlesnake country. I was preaching one night out there, and a translator came down the aisle to get saved. Preaching one night, lady out back in the back, "Help!" She screamed, a possum ran across her foot. Some of his members had to kill rattlesnakes to get to the outdoor chemical toilets they had. He jostled. He jostled. Mike Mutzler, out in Oregon, was a Free Will Baptist preacher. Went out to Oregon, started the Free Will Baptist Church, built the building himself, started it. Own the buildings, his. He decided to be an independent Baptist preacher, which is a good thing. Changed his doctrinal position to believe that Jesus could keep you saved. He could save you. He'd keep you saved. The nomination for him. What he did? They said, "We'll take your buildings." He said, "You won't have to. I'll give them to you." He gave the denomination his buildings. Year after year after, his people didn't even know where they were going to meet the next Sunday. They meet Sunday morning one place, Sunday night another place, Wednesday night another place, for year after year after year. Now they're running 1,300 people out there in the great church, biggest church in all the Northwest, I guess, now. Why? He jostled. He jostled. What you going to do? Huh?
Well, you just can't do it here.
Touchers never do it. 40 years ago, I came to pastor this church. They said, "You're crazy. You're crazy. You can't build a church in Chicago area. You can't. It's the biggest Catholic disease diocese in the world. You can't build a fundamental Baptist church in the Chicago area." Oh. No, I didn't build it by myself, but a bunch of us decided to jostle. What you going to do? Some of you little lammer girls, not good wives, won't you decide to jostle and become a great wife? Some of you lammer boys at Howells Anderson College, won't you decide to get on your face before God and jostle on your face and beg God and reach out and don't just touch and jostle it. Leave this place and go out and do something big for God. Our Heavenly Father, I'm going to quit. Don't want to, but I am. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd give us the fortitude, gumption of that weak little lady been sick for 12 years.